It's a relief when you can learn from experts who are a couple steps ahead, but also when they're willing to say, I don't have all the answers. None of us have all the answers. And we don't really know how this is going to play out. And sometimes that can feel unsettling because we want to know what's going to happen. And other times it can feel really exciting to me where I'm like, wow, if these smart people in this room don't have all the answers, well, that actually makes this an even playing field where I can figure this out and help shape the future of it. We all have that opportunity.
Welcome to the AI for Creative Entrepreneurs podcast, where we guide you through the weird and wonderful landscape of artificial intelligence. I'm Rob Marsh.
And I'm Kira Hug. We are the founders of the Copywriter Club, and our goal is to help you stay ahead of the curve. We're going to show you how to use new AI tools to maximize creativity, simplify work, and reinvent your career so AI works for you, not against you.
So whether you're a copywriter, a marketer, or a creative professional of any kind, join us as we explore the intersection of AI, creativity, and your career.
Today, Rob and I are going to shake it up a little bit, and we're going to share some takeaways, aha moments, some ideas that we experienced recently while we were both in Orlando at Todd Brown's Mastermind Retreat. And so there were so many different presentations related to AI, and we've pulled together our notes so we can actually dig into this together for the first time and share it with you.
Yes, but before we get to that, we just want to remind you about our AI for Creative Entrepreneur course. It's especially good for copywriters, content writers, anybody who is using words in their business, whether you do it with SEO or any other kind of word-based creativity. It includes all kinds of things, more than a dozen lessons with demos on how to use various prompts. It includes a prompt book with like 120 plus prompts that you can borrow, steal, use any way that you want. We'll show you 29 different ways to use tools like ChatGPT that you may not have considered before. There's a toolkit with a list of 100 different writing AI tools that you can check out and use. We make it really easy for you to get to them and find them. There's so much other stuff that we haven't even mentioned, like the certification if you want to be a certified prompt engineer. It's all the details. You can find them at thecopywriterclub.com/AI4C. That's the number 4C, AI4C.
And Rob, I'm going to put you on the spot, but there's so many different AI courses out there now. So why do you feel like this is the best one for creatives, for copywriters? Why should they jump into this one and not the other one?
Yeah, we've asked a few people who did jump into our course why they did. And number one is they said that between you and I, they trust us to explain difficult things in a way that's easy to get, easy to try. And I think we've accomplished that with the demos that we have done. So it is very easy if you've got no experience whatsoever, if you've never even used ChatGPT or Midjourney or any other tools, you could jump in and get your feet wet. It's very easy to learn. We also included a challenge that we did, like the steps of the challenge are all included in there, which is a simple way to try it out and things that aren't necessarily related to your business, but you can easily see how they would apply to your business. It's just fun, easy. So that's why I would suggest people check it out because of that.
Okay. So let's kick off our conversation and touch on a few ideas from the AI presentations we sat through recently. Rob, why don't you kick it off? I haven't even asked you yet. What really stood out to you from the retreat?
Yeah, so there was a lot. This retreat we went to, there were three very high-level speakers talking about how they're using AI in different ways. Obviously, you and I have been playing around with it for 4 or 5 months. And so some of the stuff that they talked about was stuff that we've tried, that we've been playing around with, that we've been showing other people how to do. But some of it was well beyond the uses that I have found in my own business. So, for example, a lot of the things that we talked through were how do you use AI to automate processes in your business, the things that you're doing repetitively, and even things that you don't get to because there's so much work involved. So for example, how to use AI, let's say that you feel like you need to be on social media. You need to be posting content on Instagram or Twitter or LinkedIn or wherever, but you don't have time to create the, say, 5 to 20 posts that you might want to put up every single week. So one of those processes involved using just a few prompts, a few questions to give something like ChatGPT direction and to say, okay, here's something about my brand or here's what I want to talk about. Give me a list of posts that are ideal for this particular use. Then you take that and plug it into a tool like Canva, which then can automate backgrounds, images, whatever with those phrases, words that you've just generated. And then you can plug that in, again, automate it into posting with a posting tool and have it appear on your Instagram feed, Twitter, whatever. So that's just like one use case of all of the stuff, but it just drove home how useful both automation and AI working together are in doing all the stuff that we don't actually have time to do in our businesses. That's one big takeaway.
Yeah. And what would you say to someone who's like, okay, cool. So I can use Canva now. I know Canva has AI capabilities, but what do I even look for in Canva? I'm used to using it just kind of like the basic way. So what am I looking for if I want to create all these headlines in Canva?
Yeah, so you're asking the wrong person this question because I'm not the Canva expert, but the tools are built into Canva. So you can, you know, sign up. If you don't have an account, sign up for an account, go in there, and it's not difficult to find that stuff. But to me, the real value is when you start linking them together. So it's not just using the AI tools in Canva, using ChatGPT to generate a bunch of, post captions that you can use, or, you know, having some automated tool that posts this stuff for you, but it's linking them all together. So you kick off the process, and using a tool like Zapier or Make, it finishes, it uploads to this thing, it starts the next automated process. So you're basically saying, here's what I need. You take a minute or two to put that information in there. And a few minutes later, you could have 20, 30, 50 posts for this particular use case and, you know, be ready to go for a week or two's worth of content. So that's, to me, that's the power. And that's where I start to get really excited about this stuff. I'm like, okay, if you do it right, if you do it well, this could really start moving your business in a specific direction.
I think the key is just finally realizing that we can stack all these AI tools in unique ways and that it is all possible. So even if you don't know how to connect ChatGPT to Canva to do this yet, just know that it is possible. Other people are doing it, or even if other people aren't doing it, there's still a way to do it. And I think the key is to start thinking a lot bigger about what is possible. And that brings me to some of the questions that one of our mentors, Damian Lanfranchi, shared. He's the COO of Todd Brown's company. And he shared a couple questions that I felt like were really powerful to help me think differently about what is possible. So I'll share a couple that resonated with me. One big one is, what can we do now that we couldn't do before? Another one is, how can we serve our clients in new ways? And then the third one is, how can I disrupt my marketplace? So with just those three questions, you can start to think about what you could do for your clients, how you can serve them in new ways, how you can show up in a radically new way, and just think a lot bigger about what's possible. So that's allowed me to start thinking about, for the Copywriter Club, what can we do differently that we couldn't do before? Because now we have access to all these different apps, and we have become, in some ways, software developers because we can build out these apps and platforms. So what could we do now that I couldn't do a year ago? And that I've never had the skills to do. I've never been a programmer, so I've never even thought that was possible. And for the first time, I'm thinking about, okay, wouldn't this be really cool to create for copywriters? Or if I'm thinking about my own copywriting business, I'm thinking about different apps I could create to help my clients in the launch space, to help make their launches so much easier. And this is something I would never have thought about as a copywriter a couple of years ago, because I was like, well, I kind of missed the boat. I'm not going to go back to school to learn how to be a coder. It's just not in the cards for me. And for the first time, we can't use that excuse. And it's a huge opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. The opportunity for no code tools is huge. So as you're talking about that, Kira, like, what specifically are you thinking that you could do differently using some of these AI tools? Or what could you create that you couldn't create before?
Well, so for the Copywriter Club, for the two of us, I'm thinking of all the different questions we receive from copywriters. and how we could address each problem with an app. And again, that's something that we could have focused on previously. We could have invested in it. We could have hired a developer to help us create it, but it wasn't a priority and it would take too many resources to actually do it. And now I could go in and if I have the time, it's going to take time, but I could figure it out and the tools are available. So it might even be something like, rather than having a static lead magnet, which are, you know, lead magnets are dying in some ways. If it's just a static PDF, you've talked a lot about that. But if we can create something that is interactive and helps solve a problem, like a business assessment, even for the Copywriter Club, right? The accelerator launch is coming up in the fall. What if we could have some type of business assessment for copywriters to run through to see which areas of their business to focus on, which ones are maybe doing well, which ones need more attention, and they could figure that out through a dynamic, not even a quiz, but some other type of assessment tool that we could create to get their opt-in and to also, you know, ideally grab their attention and help them diagnose a problem that we could solve in our program. And so I think it's just thinking more dynamically about those opt-ins and entry points into our business.
Yeah, that was another thing that very similar. You know, like, can we set up a chat language model that would answer questions based off of all of the stuff that's been said on our podcast, for instance? So, you know, we've got 350 episodes in the back catalog, more than that, actually. Listening to all of those will literally take you weeks, even if you listened, you know, it'd take you 3 or 4 weeks, even if you took no time to eat or, you know, bathroom breaks, sleep, whatever, it would still take you weeks to get through all of that stuff. What if there was a Copywriter Club, AI tool that would allow you to say, hey, I've got questions about this, and ask all of that back catalog that question and see what comes out of it. So those kinds of things can be really helpful. Now, obviously that's specific to our business at the Copywriter Club, but if I'm a creative entrepreneur, I'm, you know, a writer or a designer, I'm looking at some of these tools and thinking, okay, what are those processes that I might have that I could automate? That's level one, but what are the things that I can start to use some of these tools to solve problems, even for money? You know, you can charge them to use this tool that you create and not take up any of my time, but still use maybe the resources that I put together. So, you know, if I've got a research process that I can feed into a large language model bot and have it collect information, you know, maybe it's asking a series of questions to gather information for that research. So, you know, it's gathering it all up and then can actually take what my customers are giving me and provide analysis on all of that information and shoot me a document that has, you know, it's set up so that it's exactly what I need. So ideas for headlines, ideas for leads, if I'm writing, say, a sales page, or ideas for subject lines and topics for emails, all of that kind of stuff. You can now automate a big chunk of that process. And it doesn't mean that you're not doing any thinking along the way. It's just helping speed up that process between you and your client and thinking through all of the things that you need to deliver.
Yeah. And it's interesting too. I was thinking about our podcast and uploading everything into some type of coaching tool like Wisdom AI. But then I ran into an ethical question in my mind, which you and I haven't even discussed yet, but I was like, okay, well, if we upload everything, you and I share our expertise and insights, but we also are bringing these guests in to share their frameworks. And I wonder how that works in tools like that. If they are referenced as providing some of those insights, if someone's asking a question using a tool like Wisdom AI and asking about a framework for creating retainers, and then it pulls content from an episode, does the person who shared that particular framework get any recognition? Or I guess it probably wouldn't. So anyway, I've already been wrestling just with the ethical questions, and it doesn't mean you can't do it or you can't work through it, but I feel like some of these tools, at least in my mind, I get stuck on some of those questions that I'm still processing myself, but I'm continuing to process them and not closing any doors.
Yeah. And I think we need to go back to think through how AIs are built. So if the tool is just treating that back catalog like a database and it's pulling chunks of copy straight out of it, then hopefully we could design it to give credit in some way. Right. If it's built like a typical LLM though, and it's just showing the power of connections between certain words, It's not likely to pull word for word what a person would say or what a framework might be, but it would give us that most expected answer, which is really hard to credit back to a particular source. So as we build this out, we'll have to figure this out as we build it out. I mean, as I think through this, you know, obviously guests come on a podcast. When I go on a podcast, I show up, I'm sharing, you know, my thoughts, my ideas, my insights there. And I am not expecting, you know, every single time somebody listens to that podcast that I'm going to get any kind of payment or even necessarily any kind of credit. I'm just out there sharing. And hopefully that comes back to me just because of that, you know, when you put good out into the world, good tends to come back. When you put ideas out into the world, ideas tend to come back. So hopefully that's good, but I think these are exactly the right ethical questions to ask when we start building these kinds of things. I think a lot of designers, copywriters, they'll be using only their own IP and their own thoughts. And so that might be a smaller question for them, but who knows?
There are a lot of podcasters out there though who have a lot of content. And I just think about, I've shared my unique mechanisms on other podcasts with the same sentiment of, I want to be generous. It'll come back eventually, but people might be more guarded moving forward if everyone starts uploading their transcripts from every single podcast episode. It may just change the way we run podcasts in the future too. So I enjoy that process of thinking through the possible ramifications of doing it this way versus this way. But it does make me think about, okay, well, I need to be really diligent about capturing my own data and those transcripts from everything I've ever shared out there. And for the two of us to do that for the Copywriter Club, we should have all the transcripts and turn that so we have our own data that we could use with any of these tools. And we haven't done that yet. We have some of those transcripts. So for everyone listening, like, you can start collecting your own data so that you're ready to go when you find the right tool and you could upload your data rather than maybe having to still work through that and being a couple steps behind.
Yeah, when we talk about tools like this, it's kind of that cloned coaching idea that, you know, was talked about. I think about ways to make it useful for people who come to us. So for instance, what if we took all of the content that has been part of our Copywriter Accelerator program, which is an expensive program and for a good reason. It's a really good program. It teaches people exactly how to set up their own business. I've seen people who've gone through it and said, hey, this isn't just for copywriters, but could be useful for all kinds of freelancers, anybody who's building that kind of a business. But if we took that and inside, say, like our community, the Copywriter Underground, we put a coaching bot based on all of that information, you could now join the Underground, which is a much more affordable prospect for a lot of people. It obviously isn't going to be set up the same way as the structured program. But if somebody now has a question about, okay, you know, how do I choose a niche? They could ask a question to that particular, let's call it a bot for lack of a better word, but to that bot, and have the bot feed it some of that information that we've created and that we've shared in our programs. And it's not just the accelerator. We could do all kinds of different training, that we've created, say around, you know, proposal creation, or how do you get yourself out there and build your influence and credibility. So there's a lot of uses for this kind of thing in our kind of business. And I don't think that it's just limited to the kinds of things that we do as coaches, but also, you know, copywriters, designers, creative entrepreneurs, we coach our clients as we work with them, and there may be some uses there.
Yeah. Or if you're providing launch copy for your clients and to your clients, you could use this too. You probably have answered many questions about email strategy and webinars and what to write in an email. And you can start to collect all that data and have some type of chatbot that can help serve your clients if they have a quick question. Maybe you're working with them on a done-for-you copy or done-with-you copy, and a question pops up right before the launch that you might not be able to address within 20 minutes. They can have access or even pay for access to some type of bot for that extra VIP, you know, concierge service that I think will help provide more value. It also brings me to, I think this was a question you asked at the retreat when we were talking about all these tools and how we all have access to these tools now. So we can all kind of build the same thing, but what will differentiate, you know, Rob working with Rob Marsh from another copywriter, if we all have access to all these tools and can build apps and build out all these ideas. So how have you worked through that question? And maybe you worded it differently at the retreat.
Yeah, I asked about how do we build a moat around this stuff that we build,
Right.
because it is all the same. And to be able to protect that from competition, you know, if you and I launch a bot based off of just general copywriting things, any copywriter can do that. Or if you create a research tool, any copywriter can do the same thing. And so how do you make sure that yours is differentiated in some way, that it's better and it's protected? That's what I was getting at. And one of the answers is that for a lot of this stuff, you can't. You just have to be the first mover. You have to do it quickly, and it's just going to be table stakes. A lot of us are going to have them, and it's just going to be the way it is. But I would add to that, especially for people who have thought through their own intellectual property, things like frameworks, their approach to work, their process, and you've really thought through, like, why do I do this at this time? Why is it better than doing something else? Like, you've really done that work that we talk about in the Copywriter Accelerator. But you take that, you combine it with your branding, your own ideas, and now you're starting to get something that's not available from someone else. So if the Rob bot is different from the Kira bot in that way, the Kira bot's going to attract a certain kind of client that doesn't want to work with the Rob bot because the Rob bot's process and background is different. On the other hand, the Rob bot's going to attract people who won't want to work with the Kira bot, right? Because my process is going to be different, and my thoughts and insights are going to be different. So it becomes almost more imperative for us to build our own voices, our own brands, and really be out there talking about what makes us different, you know, when we're creating that authority content.
Yeah, so it seems like three things will really be helpful. You said brand, brand voice, brand identity, and then speed will be important. How quickly can you get up and go?
And that's a
Which is
big question.
tricky.
Yeah,
It's
it is
tricky
tricky.
for companies like us. We have a small, lean team. If you're listening and you're a solopreneur, it's tricky to have speed, but that will matter. So that's where we really want to think about using these tools to help with productivity because we need that speed. And then the
Definitely.
third would be list. And I think that this whole shift makes our list even more important because you want to be able to run with an idea, launch it, and be able to share it with an audience. And it's going to make a huge difference. Even if you have the most brilliant app idea for copywriters or for artists, if you have a list of 10 people, it's going to be harder to get it out there into the world. And then someone else is going to come along, grab the idea, or maybe they had the same idea to begin with. If they have a list of 1,000 people, they're going to be able to really take that market share. And so that's what I'm thinking about too, is just, okay, this means growing our audience is even more important if we want to be able to develop these ideas.
Yeah, I agree. All three of those things become really, really critical. And there, I mean, you know, we've only talked about a couple of different uses. You know, obviously, if you do ads or advertising, there's all kinds of ways that you can automate the bidding processes that happen, you know, behind the scenes. And Facebook and Google already use AI in some of those tools. And so it's just a matter of connecting them to what we want to have happen. You know, if you're an SEO copywriter, yeah, at the very basic level, you can use ChatGPT to create things like keywords or to identify, you know, those, not create them, but identify them and then start to create content around them. But you can actually use AI to start scraping sites and see what your competitors are doing and having the AI actually analyze those scraped details. There are tools already that do that and can help you. So, like, there, it's almost hard to say this is where the limit is because everything is moving so quickly and the limits are expanding so quickly that the more we can jump in and experiment with these tools, play around with them, create our own models or you know whatever it needs to look like for our own businesses, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah, and that goes back to the questions I was sharing earlier. We should assume that anything is possible. So if we're thinking about creating something for our clients, you know, if I could provide anything to my clients, what would it be? At this stage, because it's changing so rapidly, let's just assume that it is possible and then work through the tools to figure out which tools need to connect that may require, you know, talking to colleagues who have the understanding or even hiring a consultant to talk through that or figuring it out on your own. But we need to assume, well, we don't need to. We could assume that it can be done and just run with the idea. And that's the biggest opportunity. I think that's the most exciting part. And you know, I know Brandon, our producer, said, let's talk about the upside of AI, because I feel like a lot of the episodes we talk about the harder parts, the darker parts, and it's good to focus on the upside. I feel like I go back and forth between getting really depressed about it, and then the next day I'm super excited and I have all these ideas I want to run with. And so I think there's so many great opportunities that you can better serve your audience and clients in new ways, that that's what I'm trying to focus more on. So I don't fall down the hole of, you know, deep depression about the societal issues, which we should still think about, but we can do both at the same time. I think we could do both at the same time.
It's funny. You didn't come the last day of the retreat. You weren't there, but that morning I was chatting with a couple of our mentors there and said, hey, you know, when it comes to this AI stuff, like there's this temptation to, you know, put your hands up and say, I'm done. I give up. There's no way I can compete with this. It's moving too fast. I can't understand it. And as we were chatting, Todd Brown, who's one of them, he was saying, yeah, I think we need to understand that these are tools. It's just a new set of tools. Yes, they are really capable and they do things that previous tools couldn't do. But, you know, it's like going from harvesting wheat with a scythe to a combine, right? Like, you know, if you've been using a scythe, suddenly you feel like you're out of work, and you probably are, but you can still learn to drive the combine. And now your farm is that much more productive. And that's probably a terrible comparison, but there's something similar happening here. You know, instead of the work that we can do with one of us, one copywriter, one designer, one SEO pro, you know, whatever that thing is that you do, now we can use these tools and we can do it like 15 or 20 of us, and we can increase our output, or we can keep the output the same and increase the number of hours we work. You know, there's ways to balance all of that out. So the important thing here is it's a set of tools, and the people who learn how to use the tools are going to benefit from that. And it is not a doomsday. When it comes to tools and business, it is not a doomsday type scenario. You know, some other episode, we will talk about that doomsday scenario, but it's not this one.
Yeah. And if it means just finding one idea you're excited about, one tool you're excited about using, one idea that you've been sitting on for years, and now might be the first time you can actually go forward with it and test it in a new market or in your current market, you know, cling to that piece that's really exciting. If it helps you kind of get through the parts that are scarier and less certain, that's definitely how I'm going to deal with it, because there are so many exciting opportunities. And I think Teddy Garcia, who was on a recent podcast episode, he said it best, you know, we're really making this shift from being just writers to now becoming software developers as well. If we choose to take on that title, you do not have to. But for me, I think I'm always welcome to new titles. And if I can be a creative and a writer and a marketer, and also now possibly a software developer, like that opens so many new doors for me and for our company. And so that feels really exciting. But there are moments where that identity shift can also be hard. It's like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm not useful as a writer? Well, no, as of today, I'm still useful as a writer, but it's opening another door that may serve me in the future as I make more pivots.
Yeah, I have two ideas about what you're talking about. When we're talking about being useful as a writer, I do not think the copywriting usefulness and experience and expertise is going to go away. Even if AI is writing everything, somebody still has to say, oh, this is good. So, you know, a few months ago, there were people who were posting some poems that were written by, this was right before ChatGPT was released, but they're like, hey, this is a great poem. And it was like 20 lines. And they didn't say that it actually took the computer 20,000 lines to come up with that set that was that good, right? Like somebody still has to go through the 20,000 and say, yep, this part is good. And now ChatGPT's made that a little bit easier for us. And it's certainly doing more of, you know, it doesn't take 20,000 lines to get, you know, that good, you know, poetry or whatever out of it. But somebody still needs to look at it and say, is this going to connect with my clients emotionally? Is this going to convert? You know, what, how about if we test this against something else? And maybe ChatGPT is writing some of that stuff, but the expertise in applying it is still crucially, crucially important. And then I know I said that there were two things that I was going to say, and I totally slipped my mind what the second one was, but yeah, it'll hopefully come back.
Well, and we're still needed to help our clients navigate through this change, because if you're listening to this podcast, you're already educating yourself. You're probably keeping up with it. But a lot of our clients are busy or running multi-million dollar businesses, and they may know it's important. They may not realize how important it is, and they don't have the time because they're running a team to focus on it. So we can help them not only with our writing skills, but problem solving skills, being a consultant and being able to tell them, hey, we might not want to use copy swiped from ChatGPT in our email because it might get us flagged for spam and that might cause more damage in the future, or whatever it is. If we can stay up to date on that, we can be more of an advisor to our clients. And even recently, I don't know if you heard this, I was listening to the Hard Fork podcast, and they were talking about how tools like ChatGPT may actually get poisoned during the next few years as the tools scour the internet to stay up to date and relevant. It's going to actually scour the internet and pull in more cloned copy, synthetic copy. So it actually may damage the outputs because it will no longer just be like native human copy. And so we don't even know what to expect. Nobody knows what to expect over the next few years if these tools will dramatically change or not deliver the results that they're delivering now. We think it will get better, but there may be some curveballs in there that we can pay attention to.
Yeah. I mean, the more people post AI generated copy without checking it or whatever does definitely impact the algorithm because it's not getting the feedback that, you know, it needs to get right. Going back to the idea where you were talking about, you know, should we be programmers or are we going to be programmers?
Yeah.
You know, those being a programmer or adding those skills does not replace what we have to do today. It simply makes us more valuable. And if we can learn how to code with no code tools, that is, you do not need to learn a coding language in order to do the things that coders have done. You can use tools like ChatGPT to create that code if code's needed. You can tell it, you know, what to execute in, whether it's, you know, something like Python or JSON or, you know, C++, whatever you need it to be in. ChatGPT can actually create that because it understands not just human languages, and it understands something like 500 different human languages, but it also understands these computer languages too. So it just makes those things that we couldn't do earlier more possible for all of us. And it opens up so many windows if we can do that.
Yeah. And how cool is that? Like, I didn't grow up with that opportunity in front of me to become a coder. I also wasn't as interested at this time. But later in life, I was like, I wish I had this skill set, but I don't necessarily have the time to invest in it. And now we could just jump in and take off. And so I know developers and coders probably are less excited about the fact that we can all jump in now and use these tools to just jump in without code. But GitHub is one that we were recommended that I'm exploring. Rob, are there any tools that you think are worth exploring? If you want to explore opportunities to create your own apps, what would you explore?
Yeah, I mean, GitHub isn't an AI tool. It's like a repository of code snippets. And so, like, if you are looking to do something specific, oftentimes a good place to start is GitHub because it's already been created. And so that's...
And you can kind of build off of those codes, right?
Yep.
You can build off of what's there.
Yep. So you could take something that's there, ask ChatGPT to iterate on it. And I will say this, I don't think that the need for coders goes away either, because ChatGPT is not perfect. You know, a lot of the code that it writes is not correct. And so somebody still needs to read through it and say, oh yeah, this is going to execute properly. It's, you know, or here's the bug and how do we fix that bug? You know, there can be a little bit of a back and forth with a tool like ChatGPT or, you know, any of the language models that are out there, but coding experience is still needed. And you certainly wouldn't want to take code that's written by ChatGPT and just throw it out, you know, onto your website or whatever, because it could break everything. So, you know, there are definitely limits there too. As far as like no code tools go though, yeah. I think the key tools are things like Make, which allow, you know, like Zapier, allows you to string things together. There are actually people who are now putting together no code courses and, you know, different ways of approaching all of these tools that are out there. You know, how do you, you know, link them together so that it just does the work for you. And we'll have future episodes on this podcast where we talk about exactly how to do that no code stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely something I'm going to explore. I think Conju.ai might be another one. It's a drag and drop tool you can use to develop apps. So that's another one worth exploring. But you're right, there are going to be so many different tools we can use to create And yeah, my first go-to would be to go to Fiverr to find a developer to answer questions as I use these tools. So you're right, they're still going to be a need. It may just be a different need where you're not hiring them to develop the app from scratch, but it's more of troubleshooting and consulting. But there's still a need there.
Yeah. And I think it was Teddy who was pointing out, you know, you can use these tools now to do some of the upfront UX design, you know, to really kind of figure out like a layout before you say, okay, now, you know, what does this need to look like in code? And so we can shorten the development process when we start using these tools together. And something that might have taken 3 or 6 months or even longer to develop now could be created in a matter of weeks or even days.
Okay, so other opportunities, I just want to share another one that was mentioned is by Teddy Garcia on our podcast. You can now go into any market, which is a really exciting opportunity. And I don't think I fully grasp the power of that, but you could go into a market not understanding that market. And now with these tools, you can understand key concepts, language, so that you could build a business in a new market that you would never feel confident in exploring for good reason, because you don't have that knowledge and experience and background. But now you can, because now you have that access and information at your fingertips. So that opens up new doors too, that maybe you would not have explored otherwise. So that's a big one.
I think when you talk about that too, I think that's where industry knowledge becomes really important, because yeah, you can, you know, like you can expand into things that you've never done before, but expanding into niches where you've maybe touched a little bit, you have some experience, you're still going to have a little bit of an advantage over somebody who has zero experience and has to get up to speed or has to depend on hopefully AI to get it right. So niche experience is still going to matter, but it's so much easier to expand out into related areas.
I think your story is going to matter more than ever, because if I'm going into a market that I have zero experience in,
like quit smoking. Yeah, there you go.
Construction. We have construction going on in my yard right now, so it's top of mind. I know very little about construction. And if I were to jump into that market and I was selling a product to businesses in that space, even if I could appear like I know what's going on, because I know the lingo, I understand the concepts, that story is going to be really important, because are they going to trust me if I've just jumped into the market and I don't have a compelling story to build that trust? So I think this, again, is an opportunity for storytellers, copywriters, communicators to develop those stories, not only for ourselves, but also for our clients, so we can connect the dots and make those new business opportunities in new markets make sense to build that trust.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Okay, before we start to wrap, anything else, Rob, that resonated?
I would just say that, again, things are moving so fast. You know, it was all about ChatGPT 4 months ago. Today, there's Bard, Anthropic's Claude. I just saw a new one released that was totally different. Pi, I think, is another one. Just try the tools out. You know, if you get something that you can use from one, how can you then link it to another tool, or how can you use it differently in your business? It really is about experimentation and trying things. Even the experts are just experimenting and trying things out. You know, we've seen people create, like what Rob Lennon was talking about in one of our very first episodes, you know, how do you do a podcast with an AI generated voice and character? He's now got 4 or 5 episodes out, but you can do that for yourself in your own marketing and create, you know, a 1 minute ad that has, you know, the Rob AI or whatever. The tools are just expanding so fast. And it's just a matter of getting in there, playing with them and using them and seeing what works and what doesn't work, what interests you, what doesn't interest you. That's where expertise and new opportunities are going to come from.
Yeah, I think that the best part of all of it, at least to me, is that when you're sitting in a room full of experts talking about this and talking about AI and development and where, you know, entrepreneurialism will go and where marketing will go, it's a relief when you can learn from experts who are a couple steps ahead, but also when they're willing to say, I don't have all the answers. None of us have all the answers. And we don't really know how this is going to play out. And sometimes that can feel unsettling because we want to know what's going to happen. And other times it can feel really exciting to me where I'm like, wow, if these smart people in this room don't have all the answers, well, that actually makes this an even playing field where I can figure this out and help shape the future of it And we all have that opportunity. So even the experts, like, they don't have all the answers. They're figuring out alongside all of us. And there's just more of a demand to be entrepreneurial and to think outside of your creative box that you might have been working in over decades or a couple of years, and to really be seen and feel like an entrepreneur to explore these new opportunities. That's the opportunity to really lean in and work that muscle more and think about, what is one step I can take as this feels overwhelming? You know, what is one thing I can do in my business to integrate AI this month? And avoid feeling overwhelmed by all the opportunities, the exciting opportunities, and maybe just even if you feel overwhelmed by the uncertainty, start with a little baby step.
Yeah. And as you think about that too, there's so much noise out there about AI. You know, I recently Coca-Cola, has a head of a generative AI. Like, how does that relate to soda pop? It doesn't, right? And so, maybe they may use it in marketing, or they may use it in some branding type stuff, but nobody's going to drink ChatGPT or Claude or whatever. Like, there's no real product advantage there. It's more of a branding thing. Or, some car companies are starting to add things like ChatGPT to, their dashboard. I'm not sure that there's a real, other than the cool factor, there's not really something there. And so we see all of this stuff that's happening with AI, but the reality is that most of it is noise and we can ignore a lot of it. But we do need to focus in, like you said, finding the one thing, finding an idea to try to play around with, get to know, and make it useful in our own businesses.
So Rob, what is the one thing you and I are going to implement?
Well, there's a couple things that we're going to do. We're going to create some AI versions of ourselves, and whether we do podcasts or ads or whatever, but I'm really interested in creating the podcast chat interface so that people can talk to our podcast. The information's already out there. If we can make it easier for people to find and see, that could be really useful for people as well. Anything you would add to my list, Kira?
I think that's an easy one for us, because you got to work with what you've got, and we've got tons of transcripts. So it's like, well, let's do something with that before we explore another opportunity. I want to explore the drag and drop platforms that allow us to create apps and see what we can do there. That would be kind of the next step for me.
Excellent.
All right. So as we wrap, we want to hear from you, if you're listening to this show or you've listened to a past show, about what other topics you'd like us to tackle on the show. We're creating this for you. I mean, selfishly, we're creating it for us and for you so we can stay up to date on what's happening. So if there's a particular topic that you want us to touch on or someone specific you want us to interview, please reach out to us. We are open to your ideas. And once again, if you do want to jump into the course that Rob mentioned, our AI for Copywriters course, you can check it out at thecopywriterclub.com/AI4C.
And that's the end of this episode of AI for Creative Entrepreneurs. It's a Copywriter Club podcast produced by Brandon Burton. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please leave a review of the show on your podcast app, or if you're catching this on YouTube, like this video, subscribe to the channel, and leave a comment below to let us know your favorite takeaway from the show and to let us know if there's a topic that you would like us to cover, or maybe somebody that you'd like us to interview on a future episode. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.